Thank you, Tyler. Appreciate that. This month, I've been talking about passages in the New Testament that are about love, talking about really great chapters in the Bible that are about love. We looked at 1 Corinthians 13, where Paul writes to the brethren in Corinth and tells them that they need to exercise something that's better than miracles, it's better than all knowledge, better than all wisdom. It's love. But it needs to be practiced. It needs to be put into practice. Then we looked at the passage there in John 14, where Jesus tells his disciples, if you love me, if you really love me, you'll keep my commandments. And we talked about that last week. This morning, I want to talk about this passage that was read in our scripture reading. It's in 1 John chapter 4. It's also a very well-known passage in which John the Apostle talks about how important it is that we love each other. And we don't love each other just because God tells us to. That's a good reason to do anything. And we don't love one another just because we want to go to heaven. Well, that's a good reason too. What we'll find when we look at this passage is that we should love each other because that really is what everything is about. And that's a part of understanding love that perhaps sometimes we fail to grasp. That love is not something we do to get somewhere else or to get something else. Love is the something else. Love is it. I think sometimes we have this idea that I'll put up with you and you put up with me, and then when we get to heaven, we won't have to put up with each other anymore. You know, we get past all of that. Or I'll do what God says so that I can get to heaven and I don't have to worry about that anymore. I think you failed to understand the deal, if that's the way that you're thinking. Love one another. John says this. He says in 1 John 4 and verse 7, beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God. And whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. Anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. Fascinating thing about pretty much everything that John writes is that the words are not complicated words. They're not big, difficult words. But the concepts, they are amazing, deep, profound, eternal, divine concepts. But we have to get the concepts. We have to understand what it is that John is saying here, that the Spirit is telling us through John. And clearly, it's about love. You can't not get that, you know. This passage is chock full of love. There's a lot of love in this passage, because that's what it's about. It is definitely about understanding and getting it. Really knowing what that means. Because it's an easy word. It's a simple word. It's a little word. It's a common word. It's a word easily spoken, easily thrown out, easily accepted. And yet, in its essence, it is God itself. Now you think about that. You think about how profound a statement it is to say that God is love. Clearly there's something about love that we need to grasp, that we need to understand, that we need to embrace, because it's it. That it is it. It's not a sideshow. It's not a, you know, do this to get something else. It's it. This passage is about love. And as you have often heard before, and if you live long enough, you'll hear again this word, agape love. Again, it seems like a simple word, and yet it's a very unique word. It's a very special word that the Spirit of God picks up upon and uses in a very particular and special way in the New Testament. It's a love that means benevolence or goodwill or esteem. And it's difficult really to describe with one or two words. But basically it means that you practice something that God practices. It is a very descriptive word of God, as this passage clearly states. And when you think about all that God is, and all that God does, and all that God expresses, and especially the way that He loves us, and that's the word, this is the word that's used to describe that, to describe how God treats us, or acts towards us. Now you begin to understand that this is just kind of a little simple word about just feeling, or about affection. It's about some pretty deep stuff. And it's the love that we Christians are supposed to have toward each other. And that's really what this passage is about. John's writing to Christians who perhaps aren't loving each other the way that they're supposed to. And he's saying, look, if you don't do this, you don't have what you think you have. But in order to describe what it is that he's talking about, when he's talking about us loving each other, he says, this is the way God loves. And if you think about that, I'm supposed to love you, and you're supposed to love me the way that God loves us. That's pretty awesome. It's not natural affection. It's not warm feeling. It's not passion. We've talked about this before in the past. You know, there are lots of people that we naturally love in this life. You know, our children, we don't have to try to do that. That just comes naturally. And there are people who are good to us and sweet towards us and generous and kind and loving toward us, and we just naturally love them in return. And if you don't, you're a jerk. You're an idiot if you don't love the people who love you, because it's just so natural and so easy and so expected and it's so right. But this is a word. It's not talking about what you just naturally feel towards somebody. It's talking about a word where you make a conscious, deep-seated, spiritual choice. That's what it is. It's literally what it means, is a preference that you make. It's a preference that you make on a moral basis. On a higher level than just feeling. You know, feeling just comes from the gut, you know. I'm using the metaphor that we all use. It just comes naturally. It's visceral, this feelings. Whether it be passion or affection or your feelings toward your spouse or your feelings toward your family or your feelings toward your friends. Those things are natural. This is not natural. This is moral. This is spiritual. It's on a higher level. And you're making a choice. And sometimes you're making a choice that runs counter to your feelings. And sometimes that is hard. Well, it is hard to make a choice to love somebody that you don't like, that you don't feel natural affection for. But that's what we're talking about here. One definition is, it's discriminating affection which involves choice and selection. And, you know, discriminating sometimes has a bad connotation in our society, but it simply means to decide. It means to value and to weigh and to say, okay, based on this, I decide, I choose. And that's the love that we're talking about. And you understand, of course, that that's what God did for us. That God made a choice. He made a decision to love us. It wasn't because we were lovable. It wasn't because we were good or kind or that we were well disposed toward Him. He made a choice based on something higher than that. That's what we're talking about with this kind of love. Beloved, let us love one another. And again, that's what the passage is about. It's about encouraging and admonishing us to love each other in the church and our fellowship in Jesus Christ, to love each other. And we should love each other, and we should make that choice. And you think about it, the only reason that John is saying this is because sometimes we don't. We fail to make this choice as we ought. And we need to be encouraged and reminded about what it is that we're about and who we are and what we're striving to be and the importance of it and the necessity of it, because we don't do it the way we ought to do it. But let us do it. Let's do this. Let's love each other. Because love is from God. There's something about this preference of seeking someone else's welfare, not because you're naturally disposed toward them, not because you have a lot in common with them, not initially perhaps, not because you're friends with them, but because that you know that they are in the fellowship of Jesus Christ, and you make a choice and you say, I want to be closer to that person. I want to help that person. I want to do something for that person. And when that occurs, that's from God. That's because you have a relationship with God. People in the world don't do that. If they don't like you, they don't see any reason to love you. If they don't feel it, they're not going to do anything for you. But we have this connection with God, this thing with God. And if you love, whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. You see it? That's the deal. So, well, I don't really care about my brethren. I just want to get along with God, right? I just want to love God and know God. And, you know, these other people, they're just kind of, you know, they're just like people in the movie theater, you know. I want to just see the movie. I don't care about any of the people around me. As far as I'm concerned, I'd rather they not be there. I wish they'd just shut up and go away. I just want to see the movie. Is that how we are in church? I just want to worship God. I just want to know God. I just want to love God. And these other people, well, you know, I guess I got to put up with them because... Well, why? Because it's a package deal. If you're really born of God and you really know God, then something has transformed in your life, something has changed in your life, and you have embraced this thing that you want to embrace, that you admire, that you appreciate in God, that you know about God, that He has this quality of seeking the welfare of others regardless of how they are acting or thinking. He reaches out to them and He loves them and He tries to save them and He tries to help them. And He does it because that is the essence of God. And I know that about God. And I admire that about God, and I respect and appreciate that about God, and it is a quality that I want to embrace. I want to be like God in the way that He loves. And when I am, I know Him. And I'm born of Him. Maybe born of something means to partake of the qualities of that thing. We talk about that all the time with our little babies. You know, who do you think he looks like? You think he looks like a Raymer? I don't know. I think he looks like a Hamilton. I don't know. You're looking for those traits, those features. Do you have the traits and features of God? Because if you don't, you're not born of Him. And you don't know Him. There's people in your life that just by knowing them, they have an impact on you. Then the more you know them and the closer you are to them, the more that influence plays out in the changes that are made in your life. And we want to know God. We want to be born of God. If we are, then that is what we do. This word love here is a particular grammatical form. It's a present active and participle. And it's expressive action, an ongoing action. We're not talking about someone who says that they love. We're not talking about somebody who feels that they love. We're talking about someone who acts like they love. And they act like they love over and over and over again. If you really are born of God, and you can't change who you're born of, you know, you don't one day act, you know, be born of your parents one day, and then the next day you're not born of your parents. You know, if you're born of your parents, then you are always like that. You know, that's who you are. That is the definition of who you are, and you get up that way every single day. To be born of God means to continually act like this loving person, and that's the objective. It's not a test you have to pass, and then you get past it. I did really well in a lot of my classes in school. I took geometry, and I took algebra, and I took trigonometry, and I even took calculus, and I passed all those classes. Don't you dare ask me to do any of those problems today. I couldn't even begin to tell you how to solve those problems today. I got past that. I got my diploma. I got my degree. I'd be educated. You don't get past love. It's not a hoop you jump through and get through it and say, oh, I'm done with that. You know, whoever continuously acts like he loves is the person who is born of God and knows God. That's the idea. Anyone who does not love doesn't know God, because God is love. See, that's the problem. How can you claim that you know God, that you have this active, ongoing, close personal relationship with God, but you're not loving? Because God is love. And if you have a personal, close, ongoing relationship with God, then you have a close, personal, ongoing relationship with love. But if you don't, you don't. You don't know God. So, of course, I know God. I know about God. I know His name. I know a lot of the things that He's done. I know, you know, He sent His Son Jesus. I know lots of things about God. Well, yeah. This word know is a little more intimate than that. I don't mean intimate in any kind of a physical way. I'm talking about closeness. You're not really close to God if you don't have love in your life, because Because God is love. So, you can't know one without the other. If you don't know love, then you don't know God. If you don't know God, you don't know love. That's kind of the way that that works. To be born of one is to be born of the other. To a person who doesn't have love, he doesn't have the connection to God that he thinks that he does, or he hopes that he does, or he would like to have, or he would hope to think that he does. But if he doesn't have the love, if he's not practicing this love, then he doesn't. And if I'm not practicing it, I don't. I don't have it. First John 4 and verse 9, in this the love of God was manifest among us, that God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. There's lots of ways that God shows us that he loves us. There's evidence of God's love around us in this very room, in the people that are around you, in the air that you breathe, in the comfort of this place, in the comfort of your own lives, in the very functioning of your body, in everything that you've had and everything that you've enjoyed in this life. Every good thing is a manifestation of God's love. But there is one great and marvelous and eternal manifestation of God's love. And the word manifest means to make clear, to be visible, to be seen. I mean, how do you know somebody loves you? I mean, they could tell you. They can say, I love you. Well, that's nice. But that's not how they love you, and that's not how you know that they love you. You know that they love you because they show that they love you by the things that they do with you and for you. Right? God has made clear, abundantly clear, visibly clear, permanently clear, that he loves you. And he did that, of course, by sending his own Son into this world. And of course, there's a lot of things that are incorporated in that simple statement, because we know what it meant for God to send his Son into this world. That he himself, in the form of a human being, placed himself in jeopardy. He placed himself in our miserable, sorry, corrupt, an evil world, the world that we have tainted by our own sins. He came and he lived in this world and experienced our indignities and our failings and our weaknesses. And then he subjected himself and made himself vulnerable to our abuse, to our rejection, to our mocking, our mistreatment. He suffered. And he died. And if it isn't clear to you, God making that choice, a moral choice, a discriminating choice, to seek your welfare by going through that vile, terrible process, if it's not clear to you, if it's not manifest to you that God loves you as a consequence of that, then you're blind, my friend. You cannot see what is so obvious, what is so right before your eyes. And he did that for our benefit, for our welfare, that we might live through him. That is a manifestation of God's love. And we should come to know and appreciate God's love through that, through many things, but most especially through that. We should come to see it and know it and be impacted by it, to be changed by it. And that's the idea, you know, that John is expressing in this passage, the Spirit is expressing in this passage. He's saying, look, Jesus didn't just go through that process of suffering and dying so that we could leap over some hurdle and get our slate erased and all of our sins taken away so that we could just get past that and get on to something better. He did it to teach us and to show us the way. It's not just about being forgiven, although it is certainly about that. It's about love. Because without love, there is no life. God has enjoyed eternal life from all eternity in a relationship between the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, an eternal relationship of love. God does not want to graduate us into some kind of retirement home where we can all just kind of keep to ourselves and just, you know, do our own thing and enjoy our own hobbies. What He wants is for us to live through Him. And that means love. And this is love. Not that we have loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. This is love. You want to know what it is that we're talking about? What defines the love that we're talking about? John says, we need to love each other. Let's love each other, brethren. You want to know what that means? Well, here you go. It's not the stuff that we naturally have. It's not the stuff that just generated on our own. It's more powerful than that. It's the love that God has shown when He sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. And that means an atoning sacrifice, an offering that makes peace. That's part of propitiation, the part of atonement that sometimes we don't get. And we often think about it as just erasing a debt. You know, as I say, just making the slate clean so that we're not guilty anymore. Well, that's part of it. But it's also about reconciliation. It's about the coming together and the peace that is made between two parties. One party has wronged another. There is bitterness and recrimination and they're not together. But Jesus died not just to take the sins away, but to make peace between us and God. When I pay off my mortgage, I don't need a relationship with the bank anymore. I'm not going to go down to the bank anymore and say, I miss you guys. No. The reason that I want my debt forgiven is so that I can go and have an ongoing eternal relationship with God. And I want that now. And I want it with the other people around me who also want it now. And Jesus makes that possible. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. You see how one flows into the other? It's not just ought as a sense of debt or you know, well, God loved me, so I guess I've got to love these people. You know? No. God loved me, and that transforms me, that changes me. And I said, I see that. I see that beautiful, wonderful, glowing, eternal goodness of God's love, and as a consequence of being infected by that and impacted by that and changed by that, it ought to be borne out in my life. I love my brethren. Nobody has seen God at any time. You know, how do you know God? How do you have an interaction with God? How do you see? It's not based on seeing Him. You've never seen God. Believe me, when you see Him, you'll know that you've seen Him. But if I've not seen God, then how do I know? How do I know that I know Him? How do I recognize Him, so to speak? If we love one another, God abides in us, and His love is perfected in us. Do you see that? You know, we talked about if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. So, oh well, okay. Jesus says I gotta keep His commands, so I gotta do this, and I gotta do that, and I gotta do that. It's not about getting past a test. It's about becoming something. And when I enter into that relationship, and I really have that relationship with God, the one that I want, the eternal relationship with God, the one I don't ever want to go away, then I have this thing in me with God. That's how I know God's in me. I haven't seen Him, but I know Him. I understand Him. I get Him. I get God. And the way that that plays itself out, the way that I know, the way that I can, it becomes manifest. You know, God made manifest His love for us by sending His Son to die for us. How do I make manifest? How do I make visible? How do I make clear the fact that I have this relationship with a God I can't see? Well, here it is. When His love is perfected in us. And that's a powerful word, isn't it? Perfected. It doesn't mean that I'm perfect. It doesn't mean I'm without flaw. It doesn't mean that even my love was without flaw. It means that it's complete, that this process is completed. That I've gotten it. And as you know, if any of you are teachers, you know that moment when you understand that the light comes on the kid's head and he gets it and he understands what it is you've been trying to explain to him and teach him. And finally, the light dawns. He knows. Now he knows. How do you know God? How do you know? Well, there you go. When you love your brethren, that's it. His love is perfected in us. In conclusion, this is the heart of Christianity. It really is. The person, the message, and the mission of Christ is an effort to instill in us the love of God. And it's only truly realized when we manifest God's love in our lives. And so my question to you this morning is, how do you know? How do you know God? How do you love God? How do you know that you abide in God's love? How do you know? Well, there needs to be something that you can point to in your life and say, I am in this ongoing, active pursuit of the good and welfare of my brethren. I am loving them. I am showing my love for them. I am manifesting God's love in me by living that out in an active pursuit of the welfare of other people who also are engaged in the same process. And if I can't point to anything that fits that bill, then I ask you again, do you know the love of God? That's my lesson this morning. Now, as we've made clear, Jesus died for your sins. But He died for your sins, not only just to take them away, but to show you a better way, a way of love. If you wish to embrace that way of love today, then obey the gospel. That's one thing you need to do. But the gospel is a gospel of love, and so embrace the gospel of love. Obey the gospel by being buried in baptism for the remission of your sins, and embrace a God of love, and practice that in your life. And if you want to turn from a way of selfishness and turn and repent and turn to a way of love, then do that today. And show it by your behavior. Come forward and say that you will as we stand and sing.
When the trumpet of the Lord shall sound and time shall be no